Well, good morning. What a beautiful Sunday morning to gather together for worship. It's a little cloudy today in Withville, but the Lord is still shining down upon us. And as we start this morning, I want to read to you some of Paul's words to the letter to the Roman church. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, Paul writes these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing that is to know that we didn't have to straighten our lives out first. That God took the initiative to make it possible for us to come to him in a way that would strengthen us, encourage us, bring us salvation and eternal life. Listen to verse 8 again. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise be to God for the gift that was given to us. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Gracious Lord, what a blessing it is that you have opened a way for us to have a deep and full relationship with you. You didn't require us to set our lives right first, but you took the initiative by sending Jesus Christ to die as an atoning sacrifice for us, that we might truly be able to have a full and deep relationship with you. Lord, we realize that what you have done for us is something we could not have done for ourselves. You have made it possible not only for us to have salvation and eternal life, but you have made it possible for us to know you well by opening an avenue for fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the incredible work that you have done. And as we come to you, we want to confess to you that even now, at times, we walk the wrong path. We go the wrong way. Sometimes we're aware of what we're doing, and sometimes we're not. And as we walk the wrong way, though, we know that we can always turn back to you, that we can always confess to you where we have been wrong, that we can repent and say that we will live a better lifestyle from here on out. And you have not left us powerless to do that, but you have given us the Holy Spirit that we might be able to truly walk the spiritual journey that you have for us. What a blessing that is. What an incredible thing you have done for us. So as we confess to you our sins, we know that you will forgive us, that you will wash us clean, and that you will help us to truly stand in your presence and have a deep, warm, loving relationship with you. We thank you for all of those who have gone on before us to prepare, first off, this country, that we might live in a place where we can freely worship you as you are calling us to be. We want to thank you for those who have established Withville Baptist. Over 130 years ago, you called some people together that they might establish a church in the very center of Withville to bring the word of Jesus Christ to a town and a county who needs it. So, Lord, we thank you for those who made the sacrifices to make that possible. We thank you for the sacrifices of those who continue to give, that we might find new and different ways to reach out with the very word of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those who walk in the community with us right now, our sisters and our brothers in the faith, those who pray for us, those who encourage us, those who lift us up, that we might continue to grow on this spiritual journey together while the Holy Spirit leads us. But Lord, we also come to you this morning with many different prayer concerns. We know someone who has lost their loved one here recently. We know a great number of people in our country who have lost people due to the coronavirus. And we would ask, Lord, that you would work in powerful ways in these people's lives, that you would bring them grace and mercy at this time, that you would bring them a comfort and a peace that only they can know through your hand. We also pray for those who are sick, whether they be in the hospital, whether they're receiving treatments, whether they're waiting for medications to work, whether they're waiting for therapy, or whether, Lord, they're even waiting for doctors to determine what can be done. So we want to pray, Lord, that you would work through doctors and nurses and technicians in a powerful way to bring healing to all those we know, that they might stand strong again, and that those who are part of our community of faith might be able to join us once again in worship. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that you will answer our prayers. For we've seen you answer many in the past as we've prayed for those who are sick, and we ask you to do the same again. We also pray for those in our community who may not know you yet, who may not have a relationship with you in a way that they can grow spiritually. So we pray that you would open doors and that you would give us the ability to be your people, to share the very word that you've sent here to this earth for salvation. Lord, help us to reach out. Give us boldness and courage. Give us the ability to share our faith, that others might come to know you. And Lord, we just look up to you right now for bringing us a word today that can help us to grow on this journey. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you today from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 2, I want to tell you first, before I start to read this, that God has already led the people out of Egypt. No longer are they in slavery. They've gone across the Dead Sea, or they've gone across the Red Sea. And as they've gone across that sea, they've watched it swallow up the army of the Egyptians. And now they've traveled on and they've come to what is called the Desert of Sinai. And it's here at that place where the Ten Commandments will be given to Moses. And he will share them with the people. But before that happens, listen to these words. Exodus chapter 19, verses 2 through 8. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you will speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. God has always been about calling people into a nation, into a community, and into a people that can represent God here on earth. So being called by God to be formed into a new type of nation is part of our faith history. That's why the Old Testament is still important to us, because we need to look back at what God has done in the past, that we might better understand how God wants to lead us now. And I believe that God is still calling us into a new type of nation in the midst of a nation of turmoil at this time. God is reaching out to us just as he did for our faith ancestors to call us into a new type of community. And as you read through the Bible, not just the Old, but also the New Testament, you will find that God is always seeking to bind people together into a nation that can represent God in this world. God called the Israelites out of Egypt by protecting them during that time. He says that he protected them and he watched over them and took care of them. And then he drew them out of the nation of Egypt to establish a new and powerful covenant with them, a covenant that God intended to last for all eternity, a covenant that they would be God's treasured possession. Now, there was a if to this, and that if was they would be God's treasured possession if they followed God's leading and obeyed what God had for them. So now Moses takes the example role as God is going to call many others. Moses becomes a priest for them by representing God to them and them to God. Moses climbs Mount Sinai to spend some time with God. Moses is truly being a priest. You see, a priest is a person who goes in between. And I know as Baptists that we believe in the priesthood of all believers. And that does mean that I can go to God and spend time with God on my own. And God does speak directly to me. But there are times where my relationship with God needs to be restored and needs to be rebuilt and needs to take another step. And it's during those times that I need somebody like Moses. Somebody who's willing to be a priest for me. Who's willing to go to God and listen to what God has to say, and then in turn come and share with me and listen to the cries of my heart, and even be willing to go to God and share those with God for me and with me. That's one of the exciting things about being in a community of believers, is I don't have to walk the relationship with God by myself. That others can be that one who helps me and guides me along the way. And Moses truly was being that for the people. Because at this point in time, the people didn't know how to approach God. They didn't know how to speak with God. So Moses was the one that was doing that for him. He climbs the mountain and follows God's call to spend some fellowship and time with God as God shares with him. And it's then that God shares with Moses that the people can become my treasured possession. Listen to verse 5 again in the midst of this passage. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Take a moment and think about what would it be like for God to look down upon you and to speak to you very clearly and say, you can be my treasured possession. Now, being the treasured possession of God has two important aspects that is in the rest of verse 5 and verse 6. God says that they will be a kingdom of priests and that they will also be a holy nation. Now, the kingdom or the treasured possession of God is going to be both of these things. Not one or the other. Both of these are aspects of being the treasured possession of God. So listen to what these are. You will be a kingdom of priests. This means that they will be a people who come to hear God's message, not only for themselves, not only for their community, but also for the world. They will be that treasured possession. They will be a people who listen to what God has to say, not only to them, their community, but also to the world. And then they will take that message to the people who need to hear it. Just as Moses did in this example, the people weren't ready and they weren't prepared to face God one-on-one. But Moses climbs the mount and spends time with God and brings the very message of God back to them about God saying, here's what you can be. Here's who you can be. Here's what I have designed for you. They will be people who hear God's word and carry it to the world and share it with them. That's what it means to be a kingdom of priests. And the other aspect is that they will be a holy nation. This means that they will be a nation that is set apart, that is set aside for the very purpose of living God's will. They will find ways to make that a priority in their life, that they might be truly living for what God wants in this world, that they might be carrying out God's work, God's passion, God's desire, and God's will in this world. So God says, you will be my treasured possession if You fully obey me and keep my covenant. And as part of that treasured possession, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Listen to these two verses again. Verses 5 and 6 of Exodus chapter 19. God says to Moses, who brings the word to the people, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And he tells Moses, share these words with the people. So Moses assembles all the elders once he comes back off the mount. And he gives them God's message and says, here's what God is asking of us, and here's what God will make of us if we obey fully and keep our covenant with God. The interesting thing as you read this passage is it's not just the elders who speak, but it's all the people who give their answer. The elders are there, but obviously the other people are gathered around too. And all the people say, we will do everything the Lord has said. You see, Moses has gone up to the mount and got the word of God and brought it back down to the people, shared with them what God wanted them to hear. They share with Moses their desire to follow God fully, to obey God and to live into the midst of the covenant that God has for them. And Moses takes those words from the people and climbs the mount again to give them back to God and tells God that, yes, the people are willing to be your people, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to the rest of this world, that others might come to know about you. What an incredible thing happens. A new type of nation is built. It started right there. Now, if you know your scriptures, you know that they had difficulties living the life that God wanted them to live. They had problems being the people and following and obeying and living their covenant with God. But God continued to come through to them throughout history and says, I'm willing to reestablish that covenant again. And I'm willing once again for you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to this world. You see, God's still willing to make the same covenant with us. God's still willing to say, I want you to be my treasured possession. I want you to be a kingdom of priests, those who listen to my word and carry it to the world. I want you to be a holy nation, a nation that is set apart, a people that have set aside time and made their priorities to live the very will of God in the midst of this world. So you see, we can be a treasured possession of God, a kingly or a priestly kingdom, and a holy nation if we're willing to fully obey God and live the covenant that God established with us. So I want to ask you to think, because God is calling us as a community to be priests for this world, a world that seems to be coming apart at the seams right now, and especially in our country. God needs some people who will listen to what God is saying and very humbly and peacefully to bring that word to a hurting nation, that we might be transformed into a new type of nation, that we might be God's people, set apart for living the very purposes that God has for this world. So I want to ask you two questions to think about for this week. Are you willing to fully obey God and keep the covenant that God has established with us? Are you? Are you willing to fully obey God and keep the covenant that God has established with us? I hope you'll spend some time thinking about that, because the second question is even more important. The second question that I have to ask you is, what answer can I bring to God for you? What can I say to God is your response for being a priestly kingdom and a holy nation? What is your commitment to fully follow God and to live the covenant that God has for us? Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing it is that you're willing to make us a treasured possession of yours. That you're willing to continue to work in our lives and to help us to fully obey your commandments and to live the very covenant that you've established with us through Jesus Christ. We know that we've had troubles doing that in the past and have failed at many points. But Lord, you still continue to come back to us and say, I'm willing. Are you? God, thank you for giving us another chance to fully be your nation, your kingdom, in a way that this world needs so much right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you two scriptures as we close. The first one comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11, where God says, I will visit you and fulfill my promise. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. And then maybe this can be our response from Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleadings. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trust. So I am helped, and my heart exalts, and with my song I will give praise to God. May the song of your heart this week be one of giving praise to God, because God is willing to make you a treasured possession, a priest to the midst of this world, someone who is set apart for the very work of the sacred to help heal this broken world. May Christ be with you in a tremendous way this week.